What is family worship, and why is it important for families?
We'll discuss this and other questions from viewers today on Real Family Talk. Join us. It's time for Real Family Talk, Your Questions Answered. During this episode, we're answering questions from viewers like you.
Here's our first question. I was not raised as a Christian and keep hearing about having family worship with my kids. So what is family worship? When is it supposed to happen? And how can I make it a part of our family ritual?
You know what? I really love this question, and I get excited when people ask this. Not because I think that I've always loved family worship from a young child, but because I've learned to appreciate it as I've grown up to see what can be done with it. And so we want to share with you that family worship is a time for the family to get together to praise and worship God. It's a time of bonding for the family to ask for God's protection and to develop a spiritual legacy in the family. And so we often say to people, don't get overwhelmed by, you know, it sounds so big, you know, when you say family worship, but it really is just what we're saying, a time for families to bond, to talk about God, to worship God,
and to grow together.
And to grow together spiritually.
But also personally, because as we spend this time together, we get to know more about each other.
Yeah. And I want to say, I think that a lot of people are afraid of it, even those that did grow up as Christians, because perhaps maybe somewhere in their past, family worship just felt like a very cumbersome, maybe even boring
activity
that they had to do. Maybe it was drawn out, you know, or it just seemed like it was not the favorite time. And so we want to sort of recreate how we express family worship.
Let's also keep in mind that we live in a world where many of the values are hostile to our beliefs as Christians. And family worship is a time for families to acknowledge their Creator and establish a biblical worldview in the home. Because every day, our children and ourselves are bombarded with all kinds of ideas and worldviews that are not a biblical worldview, that are not in sync with God's plan for the human family. So it's important that if we're going to remain true to ourselves and true to our values as Bible-believing Christians, that we spend some time with God at the beginning of every day with our families and in our families.
So we recommend that you have family worship before you leave home in the morning and in the evening, before everyone goes to bed. So it doesn't have to be a full church service, like I said earlier. It can even be as short as 7 to 10 minutes. But you have to plan for it and you have to put it in the schedule. If you're not intentional about having family worship, it will get lost in the busyness of your daily lives. So it has to be a priority. You know, it has to be something that you say is important to the lives of your children and to your family.
To the life of your family. And if it's important, it should be in your calendar. Everything that's important is in our calendar. And today, with most people having smartphones, just put it in your calendar and remind yourself that you want to have family worship and when you will have family worship. Well, there are many creative ideas for family worship on our website at family.adventist.org. We suggest that you do what works best for your family and do that which can fit rather easily into your daily routine. We recommend this quick and easy format for busy families. Here it is now.
All right. So we say, start with morning hugs. You know, wake your kids up Don't make it a chore. Hey, kids, it's time for family worship. You know, I mean, if you start out that way, your kids are not going to be excited about it. Neither are the adults going to be excited about it. You won't be excited about it. So start with a joyful waking up time. You know, we have shared this before, perhaps on this show, that when we finally figured out how to negotiate family worship in the mornings after our kids
started going to school.
Yeah. Prior to them going to school,
it was relatively easy.
But once school started and everyone was going to work and going their different ways, it was a lot harder. And so we became very intentional about putting it in the schedule, waking up a little earlier in the morning, and
making it fun.
So everyone would gather in the bed. And so we say start with hugs because this creates a warm feeling in the family, and it leaves every family member feeling loved and appreciated. One of the things that we're missing in our world today is warmth. And we
connectedness, feeling connected. We're so disconnected, and everyone is doing their own thing, and we feel so alienated from one another. And especially right now in the world and during COVID, people are socially distant, and not only have they become
isolated,
yes, physically, but it becomes an emotional isolation and distance from one another, and everyone is fighting everyone, and so you feel embattled all the time. So this is a very good time to do family worship. If you haven't done it in the past, here's a good time to begin. Another thing that you could do, Elaine already mentioned, hugging in the morning. Every child wants to be hugged. Every person wants to be hugged. Sometimes it's difficult for some, but this is a good time to bond as a family, to feel connected as a family. You can also begin by singing a song, a short one stanza chorus of some song, praises and prayer requests, and everyone say one thing they are grateful for and one thing they need prayer for. Did I just give your other thing that you can do, the praises and prayer requests?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really good. But I wanted to go back to the song.
Yeah.
Right? Because, again, you know, we want to say to parents, especially if you have young kids or teenagers, this is not the time to pull out that six stanza song from the hymnal. And I know the viewer said that she was a new Christian.
Right.
She might be excited about some of these songs in the hymn book, or some of the older Christians might be very excited about these songs. This is not the time to do that. Remember, this is a short worship time. So find a nice chorus that really revs everyone up and feels warm and inviting.
Especially for the younger children.
Especially, you could even sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
That's right.
Something that the little kids know. And then you said praises and prayer requests, and you can elaborate on that. Just saying what you're grateful for, what you are looking for that day.
And then read a short devotional. Read the devotional that is appropriate for the youngest child in the family. Even the teenagers and adults can learn something from the children's devotional.
And then finally, end with prayer. Agree at the beginning of the week who will pray on each day. Because what we want to do is we want to get everyone involved in the process of family worship.
And once you get the hang of things, you can even assign each family member to lead out each day of the week, a different person each day. That way, everyone can actively participate in the family worship process.
Well, we'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering viewers' questions.
Here's the next question. I'm a single mom, and I've been having a very difficult time with my 14-year-old daughter. When I give her chores to do by a certain time so that we can have dinner together as a family, she often disregards the timeline I've set and still expects to join the family for dinner. I'm afraid she's not learning responsibility, which will affect her for the remainder of her life. Please help.
Well, sounds like you have a teenager in your home.
Indeed.
So the first thing that I often say to parents is just remember that you are the adult in this relationship. and that she's basically doing her developmental task. So remember, she's not doing this against you, at least not intentionally. Developmentally, teenagers are still in the process of becoming, turning into adults. And they are in need of parental guidance to help them cultivate habits that will serve them well into adulthood. This is a very critical time for your daughter, and how you handle these challenges as a parent will determine whether she develops a healthy self-esteem or simply feels put down and inadequate. So to begin with, again, remember that you're the adult and you can make a difference in the way you handle this.
One of the many challenges parents of teenagers often face is their teens' desire for total freedom and their desire of parents for total control. So there are polar opposite things taking place. In the process of trying to remain in control of the situation, parents tend to overreact by yelling at their teens or putting them down when they don't meet parental expectations. So you want to be sure that you approach her with a healthy balance of warmth and control. This is what we call authoritative parenting, not authoritarian parenting, which has a lot of control and very little warmth. Remember, we're talking about teenagers here, and teenagers are still in the process of becoming. And what we do as parents will prepare them for the next step or will help them derail the remainder of their lives. So let's not get frustrated. As Elaine already mentioned, we are the adults in the relationship, and we should know that this is just a part of their developmental process. So let's not get frustrated. Let's just put some boundaries in place, but with kindness and with love and with affection and with an eye to helping them to do exactly what we're asking them to do.
I think what happens with a lot of parents, and I will confess, you know, this happened to me several times when we were raising our children, our teenagers, is that we want to feel that we're being good parents. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, I'm sure the viewer wants to be a good parent. So we want to make sure that we are setting boundaries for our children. You know, we're giving them chores. We're doing things to help them to become
responsible
citizens in society, right? But sometimes we make the mistake, which is something you said, and I want to just reiterate it. It's the need for control. And that's the point we're making, is that while there needs to be some control, that control needs to be tempered with a lot of warmth. And, you know, we spoke about the warmth thing in the family worship question, where we're basically saying warmth is really critical in ensuring that your children grow with a healthy self-esteem. There has to be that balance that while you're setting boundaries, you're also conveying to them that you love them and that you care for them more than what you say. Because a lot of times parents may say, you know, I'm being stern because I love you. But our children know love because of how we treat them.
They hear our voices. They see our body
eyes.
Language. They see the way we approach them. And we might say one thing, but that's not what they're feeling. So our words and our tone should match and should convey to our children that they matter. In fact, that's a big deal. Children need to know that because of what we're doing it because they matter to us. We want them to do well. We want them to be happy. We want them to be accomplished.
So parents must realize that children and teens, in fact, even adult children, are more likely to be interested in hearing what they have to say when there is an established relationship of kindness and love. This kind of relationship, to be sure, is one that can be created when parents choose to listen more and talk less. When parents become more deliberate about giving attention to their children without judgment or put downs, they will be even more likely to create an environment of support and growth for the entire family. After all, No real change, no lasting positive change will take place in any human relationship, especially the parent-teen relationship, unless there is a tangible feeling on the part of the teenager that her parents deeply love and care about her. One of the things I often say to parents is, how did you feel when you were a teenager? Just think about how you felt when your parents spoke to you, and do the same for your child, or do the opposite of what you didn't like when you were growing up.
You know, it's important for you to set proper boundaries for your daughter and to have realistic expectations. Teens and children need to learn that autonomy and freedom come with responsibility. In other words, every privilege has a corresponding responsibility. Since your daughter is 14, she is old enough to participate in the process of working out a schedule for chores. Take the time to sit with her and let her know that you really need her help around the house. Then find out what challenges she may be having after school that may be keeping her from being able to accomplish the task you've asked her to do. Ask her what she believes is a reasonable amount of time needed to get the chores done before dinner. Then ask her what she thinks is an appropriate consequence if she doesn't complete the task that you both have agreed on.
And then make sure that you trust and verify. Check in with her periodically to see if she's on track, and make sure that there is a consequence if she does not complete her chores. But remember to be flexible. Please don't yell, and pray a whole lot.
We'll be right back after a short break. Stay with us.
One of the biggest challenges parents face today is not having enough time.
Well, is it that we don't have enough time, or is it a challenge for us to prioritize?
Or perhaps we just need to learn to put first things first.
Often as parents, we say that we want our kids to be respectful, but we've conveyed to them that they are not that important because we have made many other things a greater priority than them. We often think that paying attention to our children is postponable, but it isn't. And by the way, if you're having a conversation with your child or your children, or if you're having dinner at the table and your phone rings and you pick it up, you've just conveyed to them that they're not that important, that anyone who rings that phone is more important than they are.
And that's why oftentimes when we get these types of questions from parents, we are quick to begin our answer, how to handle your children, with the whole notion of paying more attention to your children and prioritizing them. Because many of the problems that our families are having today stem from the fact that we're just not giving focused time to our children.
And hence, they don't respond when we need them to respond because they think they don't matter. So if they don't matter, it really doesn't matter what you need from me.
Absolutely. So we have to first recognize that having children is a sacred trust. Parents have been given an opportunity and the responsibility of raising God's children here on earth. As such, as parents, we have the task and honor of exuding Christ-like love to our children so that they will grow up to love and worship God.
So, how do we put first things first when there are so many competing commitments? Glad you ask. Many parents say they are busy working hard for their children so they can have a nice home, a good education, quality clothes, etc., etc., vacations and other things, bicycles and skates. All these things are important, but should not replace your presence as a parent. The truth is, children are more interested in having more of their parents than more stuff.
Absolutely. So we want to share with you some ways that you can actively show love to your children. And we say actively show love because it's more than just telling your kids that you love them. It's more than saying to them, I love you, so I'm working all the time. I love you so that you can have more of these things. And those things perhaps are important. But what's most important is that we actively show love to our children. So the first thing we want to share is time. Make time to spend with each child, if you have more than one, every day to just listen to them, play with them, listen to music, just have fun. Find out what's going on in their world. Again, many times parents will ask us, how do I solve this problem of my teenager not talking to me? And the first thing we'll say is, listen, just listen to them.
Another thing that you can do for your teenager is focused attention. Turn off your phone, put away email, turn off the television. Give your full, undivided attention to your child. Play some basketball, play a table game, do something together. Ask them about their day. Engage them about school and what's happening. Talk about their friends. Talk about what's coming up at church and what activities they're involved in. Give focused attention.
You know, sometimes parents, I think, get a little nervous because when they hear us talking about all this warm, fuzzy stuff, they may think that we're saying to not discipline their children.
Right.
But the next thing we want to share is about boundaries. It is important for you to set healthy boundaries. Set healthy boundaries that are age appropriate, however. Every child needs to know where their freedom and autonomy begins and ends. So the fact that we're saying that you should be loving and kind and warm and listen doesn't mean that you allow your child to just do whatever they want.
That's correct.
And to just run haphazard, you know, throughout the house and throughout the community and life. No,
right.
we're setting healthy boundaries that are developmentally age appropriate for your child that helps them to understand their freedom and autonomy.
Also, commitment. Commit to being available to them, to participating in their lives.
And warmth. Pull them close even when they try to push you away.
And laughter. Laugh a lot. Make your home a happy place where your children really want to be. And stop yelling.
Pray. Pray a lot. Pray with them and for them.
Remember the promise made in God's Word. Put God in charge of your work, and what you plan will take place. Proverbs 16:3.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.